Thanks, Shane. Thank you very much.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Enjoy the show.
Thank you, Dermot. And the weather outside is reflecting how we all feel. Ah, that's very sad, isn't it? Very sad. So much excitement. But no, it's not to be. It's not to be. That's the end of our team's journey in their first World Cup. But they did us proud. Like, you know, you have to remember that we're a very small country. I suppose we're a good few years behind the development of the women's game than other countries. Like when you hear places like Canada and Australia who are in our group, they've been in seven or whatever number of World Cups. This is our first. This is our first. We're 22nd in the world. Like Canada, they're Olympic champions. They're ranked 7th. Australia ranked 10th. It was always going to be difficult to get out of this group because you would bet on Australia and Canada. But they played really well. What a first half. Katie McCabe's goal in the fourth minute, and it looked great. It's always difficult to hold on to a one goal lead when you go ahead that early in the game, particularly in football and you're playing against the better side. But it looked good, and then what was it, 5 or 6 minutes of extra time in the first half, and they snuck in a goal, a deflection from one of the Irish players, and it just rolled in past. And that was and Canada came out. They were a different side in the second half. They looked like Olympic champions, and we weren't able to match them, and that's it. But well done, and thank you so much. Thank you so much for the anticipation. And we all got involved, and we all jumped on the bandwagon and got in on the hype. They've nothing to be ashamed of. In fact, they've a lot to be proud of because they performed very well. 1-0 against Australia, which was a penalty, and 2-1. Against Canada, but that's it. They needed a draw today at least. So well done to Katie McCabe and the girls. And we'll be talking to Stephanie Roach. She's just finished up there. It's just literally finished before we came on air, and she'll be shooting off to a phone, and she'll be taking our call in a few minutes' time, and we'll get her take on that game against Canada. What else is there going on today? The II. We mentioned the II on Monday, and now everyone's talking about the II. And he's pictured on the cover of the Irish Times. He's cute, depending on, like, I think he's like Marmite, is the II. He splits people down the middle. Some people, like me, find him cute. Other people think he's a little bit freaky, a little bit, you know, long fingers, claws type things, hairy, the big eyes, the big ears. They don't really like him. He's a nocturnal animal, you know that by now. And they have a nocturnal house in Dublin Zoo, and the little II is the star. They're native to Madagascar. The body is smaller than the tail, and when he gets threatened or she gets threatened, it doubles in size. You know, the fur goes up. And I thought the II name was something to do with the eyes, because the eyes are big because they're nocturnal, so they need to let more light in. And I was fascinated to know II, you know, where does that name come from? So I did a bit of research on your behalf last evening, as they say, last evening. There's a heading in a thing from is a National Geographic. They who must not be named. According to local lore in Madagascar, IIs bring bad luck and death, and must be killed on sight. And this has led to the death of so many that they are now protected by law. Some researchers believe II comes from the phrase "I don't know" in the local language, which may be because locals were afraid to speak the name. So that's. And I know what you're asking now. What do they sound like, Ray? What do the II sound like? This, of course. No, they don't. Yeah, I should have known better. No, this is what they sound like. Yeah. So the nocturnal house is open for business, and probably a good place to be today with the rain and all that. But I'm sure there'll be hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people queuing up to see the little I. Yeah, Coldplay. It was Taylor Swift yesterday, Coldplay. We had a text from a person who'd queued for 5 hours and then were unsuccessful. And then people queued and eventually they were offered a deal that was just €985.85. I don't know where the 85 cent comes from when you're talking about that much money. But anyway, the good news is that Chris Martin has come out and he's answered all his critics. And he was asked, like, what's going on here? What's, like, you know, why? Why all the hassle, Chris?
Nobody said it was easy. No one ever said it would be this hard.
Yeah, nobody said it was going to be that hard, Chris. You're right indeed, yeah. Oh, the clips come flying today. I don't usually play these, and I get offered an awful lot of them. It's when people break into song on airplanes, and then people grab out the phone, and then they, you know, it goes viral-ish. What's viral anymore, anyway? Anyway, but this one just caught my attention today, and it's a Ryanair flight. And before it took off, somebody, I don't know if you're allowed to do this, if it's against the law. Anyway, he grabbed the microphone, telephone thing that the cabin crew used to make announcements, and he launched into "Hold Me Now" by Johnny Logan.
From now on, you'll be with someone else instead of me. So tonight, let's build this memory.
And everyone join in. I've no idea what the context of that was, but it sounds like everyone's having a good crack. They're enjoying themselves there on the Ryanair flight, "Hold Me Now," and the Johnny Logan impersonator. He didn't hit the notes that Johnny can hit. While we're on music, Britney Spears, for your information, has joined Spotify's Billions Club. In other words, one of her hits has hit a billion streams, and it is "Toxic." Well done, congratulations, Brittany, part of Spotify's Billions Club. We've got an email in to ray@rte.ie from Gillian. And she says, "Dear Ray, I'm writing to you as I'm bursting with pride for my nephew, Sean O'Neill. Sean is 22 and he has autism. He has a love of music and sport and is quite a good DJ. He also plays guitar. From a very young age, he would go every Friday night and watch Waterford FC play football with his granddad Jimmy, who himself played for Waterford and Ireland in his day. They would always have to be there early because Sean would like the same seat every week and he didn't like going in if it was busy, understandably. Sadly, his granddad died, but his dad Tony and Uncle Jim continued with the Friday night tradition. A few months back, at a meeting in the local hotel with the autism-friendly groups, they were talking about initiatives to help children and young adults with autism. It was then the idea came to Sean to try and make the experience of going to a football match a stress-free and enjoyable one for all the families. As a result, children with autism can go watch the match and be looked after by a team of ambassadors in a part of the stand where the speakers are turned off, and there's also a quiet room where the children can go if things get too much for them." Lovely idea. Sean, my nephew, Sean O'Neill, is number one ambassador and never misses a Friday night. He loves to see others enjoying the football that without his initiative, this initiative perhaps might not go. He has a heart of gold and is always thinking of others, and I know he hopes that other sports clubs will follow suit. From a very, very proud auntie, Gillian Walsh." Well done, Sean. So now you know, if you want to go and see Waterford FC, Sean is the number one ambassador, and there's areas there especially sort of corralled off for children and families who have children with autism. So that's a nice thing to mention today. Now, I was watching the game, as you probably all were. There was a lot of Olé and Olé, there was a lot of Irish support in Perth, and I even heard a bit of the Fields of Athenry. So just to say thank you to the Girdles in Green, we'll play this one more time. Aslan, the late Christy Dignam, and their version of the anthem, "The Fields of Athenry."
The fields of Athenry, where once we watched the small free birds fly.
Aslan, their version of "The Fields of Athenry." That Ryanair flight sounds like a Bowles fan singing that. They're all Johnny Logan mad, isn't it? "Hold Me Now," isn't that their anthem, isn't it? Yeah, they're singing on the terraces. And the Aye Aye, just like the duck-billed platypus. Oh, I love that name. That was thought to be a hoax, stitched together. The eye was thought to be a hoax as well, with its bat ears, its rodent incisors and its otherworldly appearance. Of course, it has the big middle finger as well. And the boss man of the zoo was describing how they use their extended middle finger to forage, and they tap on tree trunks to see where there's a bit of a hollow, and then they know that there's little things in there that they can eat. He described it on Morning Ireland the other day.
They have this elongated middle finger, and what they do is they eat grubs that live underneath tree bark, among other things. So they do something that we call percussive foraging. They use the middle finger to tap on the tree bark, and then they hear with their very large ears if there's any holes in the bark where grubs could be located. Then they gnaw a hole into the tree bark and use the finger again to pull out the grub and eat it. It's a brilliant adaptation, really, that you only see in eye-eyes.
Aha, that's Christoph Schwitzer, director of Dublin Zoo. Percussive foraging. There's your phrase for the weekend. I know it's only Wednesday, but it's a good one. Percussive foraging. It looks like they just go, what do we need now? Right, he's going to live at night, he's going to hunt at night, big eyes, give him the big eyes. Right, he's going to do this percussive thing. How are we going to work that out? Well, give him a long finger, he can tap on the thing. But how is he going to hear if there's grubs in there? Well, give him big ears. Okay, give him big ears, right. And then he wants to hang out of things, give him the big tail, and then the four, yeah. It looked like he was sort of by numbers, isn't it? You know, they started with what they needed him to do, and then they gave him all the bits, all the body parts to do that. That's the aye aye for you. Now, we're looking for two contestants. Come on at 4 o'clock and take part in our Who Done It quiz. Yeah, two quizzers, three questions, and there will be clues. And if you go for a clue and get the question right, you get a point. If you go without a clue and get it right, you get 2 points, because it's more difficult. That's the rules, you know them by now. And there's a prize. It's a two-night break at the Hendrick Smithfield, with tickets to the Gemson Experience, which is just around the corner from it. The hotel is situated in Dublin 7, just off Smithfield Square. And a stay at the Hendrick means being close to the very best of what Dublin has to offer. And it's home to a vibrant ground floor bar and outdoor courtyard space where you can enjoy breakfast each morning. And there are over 270 works of Irish and international street art for guests to explore throughout the hotel. That's something different. HendrickDublin.ie. HendrickDublin.ie for more information. Okay, here's your qualifying question on this Wednesday afternoon. Which country did the Irish women's football team face today in the World Cup? That's 0818715925.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Did you know that Britney's Toxic was apparently written about a famous Irish vet? Oh, yeah. Well, there's rumours about that. Noel Fitzpatrick. Yeah, he went out with Cathy Dennis and she wrote the song. She also wrote Can't Get You Out of My Head and I Kissed a Girl. She's a prolific pop songwriting talent. She had her own career way back, but now she's predominantly a songwriter. Now we go down to Perth to talk to Stephanie Roach. Hiya, Stephanie.
Hey, Ray, how are you?
Deflated.
Yeah, me too. It's disappointing, isn't it?
Yeah. Like the excitement, 3 minutes, 40 seconds, and Katie McCabe takes one of her, and she's a brilliant corner taker, isn't she? And it bends into the net. Unbelievable start.
Yeah, I think now Katie, she's meant it too, you know. I think sometimes you see those balls delivered, you're kind of wondering, was it meant to go in or was it just trying to put it in a dangerous area? But I think Katie has been unbelievably good in this tournament so far. I felt for her because she really has given everything, and unfortunately the team just fell short, you know. I think going ahead at the start of the game, I think it's the best start possible. I think Ireland, when we do go ahead, we're usually quite good at holding the lead, but just that unfortunate goal towards the end of the first half, it just got Canada back into it. And you have to give credit where it's due. I think they've done really well to show calmness and composure to get themselves back in front, and and they just they seeing the game out really well in the end.
It was against the run of play, because I don't know what the statistics are on possession, but we lived in their half for the majority of the first half.
Yeah, I think the first half we absolutely bossed the game, and I have to say the girls deserve a great amount of credit for that. I think it was great to see them getting forward and really imposing our game on them. You know, we didn't see that enough against Australia, so I was just really happy to see us get forward and really try and, I suppose, score goals or get shots on target, you know. So I think, as I said, it was very unfortunate to get that equaliser just before half-time. Megan Connolly trying to get herself in front of the Canadian forward, and unfortunately it's gone in off her foot. But look, I think the girls deserve a huge amount of credit for that first half. I think just in the second half, when you're chasing the game, it can be difficult, probably lack that little bit of composure at times in the right moments. And you could see Canada maybe took a few chances on the break. They could have got another goal too. So it was just, unfortunately, a game that got away from us in the end.
I was just saying at the beginning there, we should be very proud of them.
Yeah, definitely. I think, look, it's our first ever major tournament. I think the girls have done unbelievably well to get to this stage. I think we do still need to kind of ask questions too. You know, I think it's important that we look at it and kind of assess the games like we would the men's games, you know, look at what went wrong or what we could do better. But definitely the girls deserve a huge amount of credit. As I said, it's the first ever team in the women's side to get to a major tournament. And I think with the way we've gone the last couple of years, we'll hopefully see a few more major tournaments. We have the European Championships coming up now. Hopefully we can get into that for the first time. And yeah, hopefully we won't have to wait as long now for another World Cup for Ireland, because I think we've got a talented group of players there and we just need to work with them now and see what we can do going forward.
Are we a few years behind in the development of the women's game than other countries?
I wouldn't say that. No. I think if you look across the board, I think there's been quite a few good performances in this tournament. Obviously, we've seen a few kind of bigger results, like to Germany and Spain, maybe in Japan, having good results. But I think across the board at the World Cup here, we've seen a few better performances from, I suppose, the lesser nations, and you probably wouldn't expect it from them. I think women's football in the whole has started to grow across the board, and I think Ireland have grown with it. You know, I think the last 5 or 6 years, we've really developed better. I think you can see the girls are all fit and strong, athletic, and that's credit to them, because they're really doing a good job at their club level to make sure they're right when they come into the international level. And I think, look, we've shown over the course of this tournament and obviously before as well that we can compete at the best. It's just we're maybe lacking that little bit at the end, and as I said, that bit of composure in the final third to try and get us back into the game when we need it.
So we used all our subs. So at one stage of the second half, Vera Pau brought on 3 subs, which is unusual enough in international football, isn't it?
Yeah, look, I think she knew she had to throw everything at it. I think we knew we needed to get something from the game. We needed at least a draw, and we could see the girls towards the end. You could see Katie trying to score the girls forward. As I said, we kind of gave up opportunities to Canada in doing that, but we knew we had to try and get something from the game, so Vera had to make changes. And credit to her, she did make the changes when needed. It's just, as I said, unfortunately, we fell short. I think sometimes we probably snatched that crosses into the box. We're just trying to lump it forward. There's maybe not enough thought process on where we need to put the ball. But you can't I suppose, criticise the lack of effort from the team. They're all trying to push forward and try and get something. But just unfortunately, we fell short. And as I said, we just didn't show that composure and quality at the times where we needed it.
Vera Pau was talking after the game. So let's have a listen to her and see what she has to say.
Well, we felt that we could control the game in the first half, and we brought Abby Larkin in for more variety, but they stepped up, she was sandwiched. She couldn't get really out. We tried with Marissa Shiva on the right to get pace forward. We tried with Lily Egg to get more pressure forward, and she's a goal scorer. And then we played 15 minutes 4-2-4, which execution we've done better before. But against Olympic champions, what we've showed is, again, we can be proud of what we've showed, but we're out.
There you go. So that's Vera Pau there. So we have to play Nigeria. What sort of a game will that be? What sort of mindset will the team be in, Stephanie, do you think?
Yeah, look, I think it's going to be a tough one to get over this defeat tonight. I think coming into the game, I'm sure the girls are confident they could get something from it. And I think particularly the way that first half performance went, you know, I think they probably thought they were well within this game, and it's going to be a tough one to get over. It will hurt. And obviously they don't have a huge amount of time to turn around before that Nigeria game, but I think they just need to go out against Nigeria and really just try to put on a performance they're proud of. And so Katie McCabe got Ireland's first ever goal at a World Cup. Can we get a few more goals and give the fans something to cheer about? Because it's great to hear so many Irish fans over here supporting the girls. And obviously the support back home has been unbelievable as well. But look, it's going to be a difficult few days. But as I said, I think the girls will be able to get themselves back in play and hopefully put on a good performance against Nigeria.
So the team making history, and as you say, Katie McCabe making history, and she's the first Irish woman to score a goal in a World Cup, and she was talking after the game as well.
Honestly, to captain these girls is an absolute honour and an absolute privilege. Leading them out against Australia, of course, for the first game, but this as well, and how we put a performance in, the girls stepping up, young players like Larko coming in, that's the future of this team, and I'm honestly just so proud of each and every single one of them, staff included. It's a joint effort, and we've done so much to get here, and now it's about pushing on, and we know the level now. We've had experience at tournaments, and we're going to be hungry for more, and against Nigeria we want to end this tournament on a high and give the fans something to cheer about, because they were absolutely immense all game.
Ah. Larko, I love that, little Abby Larkin, not little, but she's the youngest in the squad, and she was brought on at half time, and they'll be very proud down in Ringsend of Larko. So you're out there for the rest of it, obviously, and you're enjoying it, but the fact that we're out is sort of going to take away some of the enjoyment, I would imagine.
Yeah, well, I was here as long as Ireland were here, so I'll be heading home the girls, to be fair. Yeah, but look, it's been an unbelievable trip. I've been delighted to be here with the girls and to see it from as close as I've witnessed it. You know, it's a huge moment for Irish women's football. And look, as I said, I think Katie spoke very well there at the end. It's probably said exactly what I would have said. I think it's important that we go into the last game and just enjoy the moment and soak it in. And unfortunately, it hasn't been what we wanted it to be, but it's a big future ahead for this team with it. Young players like Larko, as you mentioned.
Stephanie, thanks for taking our call on both days. And are the boots still? The boots
right
are still in the bag, are they? The boots are still in the bag.
I think I'll put them away now. Yeah. For it.
Good luck, Stephanie. Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, last year, Andy Kenny, who joins me in studio, along with two friends, set up the charity Mishnok Ukraine. It's a means to help Ukrainian soldiers injured on the front line with their rehab. It's a long road to rehabilitation for a lot of them, and Mishnok Ukraine aims to provide Ukrainian medical facilities with gym equipment to help those recovering from injury. How are you doing, Andy?
Good. Thanks very much for having me, Ray.
Yeah, great idea. It's niche.
It is, yeah.
How did you come up with it?
Well, the three of us played football over the years, and a Kerry man, a Dub, and a Ukrainian. And when the war broke out, we were, you know, obviously horrified, and we were trying to think of ways we could help. And our Ukrainian friend, he had been contacted by rehabilitation facilities, and they're crying out for equipment. Unfortunately, where the Russians were, they either stole or destroyed everything. And, you know, my background is in the gym industry, so with my contacts, we were able to start sourcing lots of gym equipment. And Westwood clubs have been amazing. They've donated so much equipment to us. Bernard from Expert Leisure, and lots of individual donations of commercial gym equipment has been fantastic.
What usually happens to gym equipment when it's, you know, when somebody decides that's it, we're done with that? It may be still operational, but it's just a little bit grubby.
Yes. A lot of it got sold to Eastern Europe. A lot of it gets scrapped.
Right.
Scrap value is very little in these things. People think, you know, you buy a treadmill for 4,000 or 5,000, but really it's after 10 years, it's value. It may look old, but it's still working, but its value is 200 or 300 euro.
Yeah.
And after the pandemic, the industry changed a lot. There was, you know, a gym might have been one third cardio, a third weights. Whereas now the cardio is a much smaller element of gyms. So a lot of gyms I've been finding have excess cardio equipment. They're sitting in storage. They don't know what to do with it.
Why is that? Because people are running outside more, is it?
I think the industry changed in COVID. Gym bunnies will always exercise. They'll always be fit and healthy. They did the workouts at home during the lockdown. They worked out in the local park. But normal people like myself who, you know, exercise wasn't ingrained in them from, you know, a young age, we kind of let things slip a little bit.
So the three of you better name check them. So there's Billy.
It's Billy, Brian and myself.
Right. And so Brian is a Kerry man.
He is.
And Billy's from Ukraine. How long is he in Ireland?
He's 20 odd years in Ireland.
Right. And you just play five aside, is that it?
Yeah. Badly. But yeah. Right, well, Brian would be argue about that, but for me, badly.
Okay. So it was a chat you were having and then you decided this. So how did you go about then getting the word out?
Just word of mouth through contacts. Social media helped. Just a lot of no's. A lot of I do all the sourcing, so I was getting a lot of no's. And we also do medical, or I do try and source a lot of medical equipment.
Right.
That's another side that I'm trying to get, which has been moderately successful.
Okay, and there's a Ukrainian group here who are helping you out.
Yeah, amazing group. The Association of Ukrainians in Ireland, they have been fantastic. They've helped us with they have a humanitarian hub in Tala that they've allowed us to use for storage. They're helping with transport to Ukraine, not just to Poland, where a lot of stuff gets to. They can help us throughout Ukraine.
Okay.
And we've done it all without raising a penny. We haven't asked people for a penny. It's all about equipment, medical, gym, dental, ophthalmology. Okay.
So say I'm a gym owner and I'm upgrading my treadmills for want of, you know, and I find out about you, I give you a ring, I say I have three treadmills here, what happens next?
You'll have three replacement treadmills coming in.
Yes, yeah.
On such and such a date. And we will be there the day before or sometimes at night to take out the three treadmills in a van. There'll be X amount of guys or girls. Right. And we'll put it in a van or a truck, disappear quickly, and then you bring in your new treadmills and everyone's aware.
And then they're stored in Tala until such time as you have enough for a truckload. Is that it?
Every 2 weeks at the minute, we're trying to send a truckload. So within a month, we can typically get something to a facility in Ukraine. I've been trying my best to get pictures back, not of people using it. I try not to use pictures of people, but of it sitting in a room in a facility in Ukraine and then give that to the donor.
And what sort of facilities do they end up in?
Big medical facilities in the West. There's lots of them. They are overrun with injured personnel, men, women and civilians as well. The further east you go, the worse the equipment becomes, the less that's available.
Because it's more war-torn.
Exactly, yeah. And the closer to the front line it is, the more damaged places have been. And it's just dire need.
So you're expanding your brief, so to speak. You mentioned medical equipment there and you're talking dental equipment as well. And is it similar in that area that things become a little bit grubby? So if you're... you have a dental surgery, you don't want things looking grubby, they still work, but you have to change them.
It potentially costs that dentist money to dispose or recycle or whatever of that equipment, whereas we can come in and take that equipment, give it a little clean, sometimes it needs a little service, and then we can pack it up and send it over to...
Who's doing the servicing for you?
We've a couple of volunteers. I need more, so if there's anyone very handy with... I can't change a light bulb, so if there's anyone handy in that respect, mechanically we do need volunteers all the time, and truck drivers, van drivers, that kind of thing, obviously.
So give us an idea then of what you've sent out to Ukraine so far.
We've sent maybe 80 machines, like strength machines. We've sent cardio, like we're really struggling for cardio, commercial cardio, that is, treadmills, rowers, cross trainers. We sent a few of those, but we don't have enough.
Right.
I sourced a nursing home closed down recently in Fermoy, and Una, the owner there, was amazing to donate lots of really good beds, mattresses, walking aids, commodes, adult nappies, that kind of thing, all in dire need.
Right, okay. You didn't plan, this wasn't something you planned for your...
No, it just turns out I'm good at sourcing. I didn't know I was, and like I'm a personal trainer by trade.
Yeah. What did you bring in with you?
Yes, this is a defibrillator I picked up the other day. Actually, your receptionist is worried about it. She thought I was going to be using it on you. So this was essentially going to be thrown out in the bin. It's recently been serviced and it's good for another year at least. You can see it's kind of, you know, mid-2000s or something. It looks like it was made. It's never been used because it's been in the corner of a hospital facility that it's not an emergency, so it doesn't need defibrillators, but they have to have one on standby. This was being replaced. It was being thrown out. I managed to get it.
And you have to be sure that works, because you don't want to be in a situation where it ends up somewhere in Ukraine, somebody goes for it in an emergency and
Work. There's huge mechanicals the other side that they will run through tests and stuff for us and make sure everything is working. And obviously there's different voltage and stuff has to be changed and plugs. And
which came first, the name of your organisation or the president's dog?
And President's Dog.
Oh, great. Yes, Mishnah. Yes. It's a good name because courage.
Courage, the yeah. Irish word for courage, yes.
And have you been out to Ukraine, Andy?
Not yet, no. I probably do need to, but we just had a newborn, so...
Oh, congratulations. And
thank you very much. She's perfect and we're very lucky. Timing was a little bit of a surprise, but you know the old saying, where there's a willy, there's a way. So a year or two early.
I have never heard that one, Andy. So you have a child already.
Yes.
And this wasn't planned, is what you're
saying.
But,
perfect timing. Going out to Ukraine is difficult, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. But you do intend to go there eventually, I suppose.
I do need to. It's just it's difficult with two children.
Yes, I suppose we all hope that the war will end sometime soon.
Yeah. Everyone is hoping, and we see. No one knows. Yeah. It's just.
So, what's the call out today, then, Andy? What?
Any commercial gym equipment. We say if it's dusty, not rusty. If it's working in good order, and we're looking for walking aids, commodes, wheelchairs, beds, operating stuff. A little side thing we're trying to help is we need catering equipment for an orphanage, like industrial ovens, that kind of thing, a dishwasher. Brilliant guy in Dublin, Paul McQuaid from the Good Bike Project. He's looking for donations of bikes. We're trying to help him there. Yeah. You might have seen that.
Yeah.
Are always stuck for storage. Temporary or longer term, van drivers, that kind of thing. That's right. What we need. So, if it's in good working order, chances are we can collect it, store it, and get it over to Ukraine quickly.
And as you said, in the world we live in now, it's actually a big palaver to get rid of stuff, isn't it?
It
costs money.
Yeah, take a pair of crutches, for example. They're used once for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
The hospital can't take them back because they're slightly scratched and they're binned. And probably people are sitting at home going, I have them in my shed, two pairs of them.
Yes.
Give me them. That's
yeah, but how if they're in the shed, how are they going to get them to you and tell them?
Mishnokukraine.com, send me an email. Right.
Mishnokukraine.com, yeah. There we go. Mishnok.
Send me an email.
MISNEACH.
Ukraine.com.
Okay. Delighted to be part of this amazing work that Andy is doing for Ukraine from Alan Leach. He's at Westwood Club. There you go. And listen to Andy there with interest. We purchased and sponsored an ambulance which has just arrived in Ukraine and will be sent to the front line. We're proud to have organised this life-saving project. That's Sean O'Lehan, Wicklow Lions Club. So there you go. So everyone's trying to do their bit.
Yeah. And if people are doing stuff and they need to fill ambulances, we can help put equipment in the ambulance. We don't care, or I certainly don't care who gets it. It's just once it gets to Ukraine as quickly as possible.
Okay. Mishnokukraine.com. Andy, lovely to meet you.
Thank you very much.
And keep doing what you're doing.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now on this Wednesday afternoon, we're joined by Susan O'Neill. Sit down there, Susan, and we'll have a chat.
I'd love a chat. How's it going?
It's like a kitchen table here, isn't it?
Yeah.
So how are things with you?
Very good.
Yeah.
They're great.
Yeah, you have a number of gigs during the summer.
I do. There's gigs all around the place. Playing in Galway this week and playing in Germany and Hamburg and Inishbofin. And we're also playing, I'm doing a support gig with Mick and maybe joining him for a couple of tunes.
That'd be Mick Flannery.
Yes.
Just you can't assume people know.
Sorry,
that to hang out with Mick Flannery.
sure, I'm on a first name basis with everyone. That's in Collins Barracks on the 26th of August.
Wider Than Pictures, live at the National Museum. Is that a series of gigs?
I think it is, yeah.
You think it is. You're just turning up and you're singing with Mick. That's all you know, right. That's fair enough. So for people who don't know you, if they listen to Radio 1, they know you because you've won Best Original Folk Track on a number of occasions.
You were very kind.
Yes. Chain Reaction, I love it. You and Mick Flannery.
That was a great one to be doing. That song is, it's a happy song.
Yeah. Yeah, and how would you describe your music generally then? If you sort of single that out as a happy song?
Well, that album, which was In the Game, was actually based around the arc and the trials and tribulations of a warring couple that were basically expressing their way through the love at the start and then breaking up and everything in between. So, I mean, there's a bit of depth in there.
Right, sure. Right. And where was Chain Reaction? Where was that?
I mean, that one's definitely one of the happier ones. Right, and they're thanking each other. There's a lot of gratitude in there.
Right, right. So you're going to sing two songs for us. So we'll chat more after you sing the first song so you can get yourself ready there.
I'd love to.
So Susan is now standing up and making her way over. She's picking up a very nice guitar, which looks like a shining like a national guitar. Is that what they're called?
No. They're resonators.
Resonators?
Yeah.
It looks like the one on the cover of Dire Straits.
Cool.
You know Brothers in Arms?
Yes,
no?
Yes.
You know, it's blue and then the shiny guitar there.
Yeah, I use it to blind people if the gigs aren't going well.
Ah, you see? Yeah. What are you going to sing for us?
This is a song called Now You See It. It's kind of, the whole idea around the song is just to appreciate what we have, because if you had 500 years to live, it's still kind of a blip. So just to kind of breathe it in while you're there.
Aha, live life to its fullest.
That kind of stuff. I was a free bird sailing through the black and starry sky. I was a reverie. Onto the wide open space where a mind can be just a mind without a memory. Now you see it, now it's gone. Now you feel it, now it's gone. You were the red light flashing on a sea-bound airplane. You were the last refrain.
Lovely. So live in the moment is the message. Yeah. Easier said than done.
Much easier said than done. That's why I'm trying to remind myself with a tune.
Yeah, that's handy. You write a song about it, yeah. Well, what happens when you're... I see you were in Canada there recently. Boo hiss. They've just beaten us in the World Cup, you know that.
Oh.
Yeah. Canada, yeah. They've knocked us out.
Oh.
2-1. So when you were there and, or you're supporting somebody and you're introducing yourself to a new audience...
Yeah.
How does that go? Do you say, hi, I'm Susan O'Neill, I'm from Ireland, and what do you do?
And that's it, set out. I mean, that's the good thing, because you have to look at people in the face and you have to read the room and you have to read what's needed. And I like that because it keeps you present with actually delivering something. You know, it actually keeps you wide to the fact that you're actually dealing with people. It's an in-the-moment thing and you're starting from scratch in a lot of cases, and that's lovely. And I also find that overseas people are very, very good at sending other people down. I mean, we have people everywhere at this point, all over the world. Yeah. And they're like, oh yeah, someone there from, I have a cousin in Galway that said come up to the gig. And it happens all the time. So
the diaspora, yeah. So just all you do is mention you're Irish and you'll get a crowd, is that it?
I mean,
no, I'd say there's a bit of talent involved as well. Yeah, a bit of talent involved. So I'm just looking at the gigs there. So you're on Inishbofin, which is nice. Portlaw, that all together now. That's this weekend.
Yes.
What's the weather forecast?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I try not to, you know, wait a minute. And if you don't like it, and it'll...
Yeah, so. It'll change, is that?
Yeah. Yeah.
We were there a couple of years ago and it peed out of the heavens. It was. But anyway, we had a good time. It's a lovely location. Have you been there?
Yes, it's beautiful.
Isn't it a beautiful location?
Stirling Festival.
Yeah. And then I better give that a mention again. So it's the Wider Than Pictures at the National Museum of Ireland. And that's, you're on the 26th of August.
Yes.
And that runs from Monday 21st to Sunday 27th.
Yeah.
So it's the summer, and then what happens then in the autumn? Do you write new stuff or...?
I'm in the middle of writing an album and I'm doing a few of these. I did a couple of these workshops when I was over, and it's a cool thing that they do as part of the Canadian gigs. Like, they'll put you into a room with maybe just budding artists. You know, there might be 12 or 14 to maybe 20, and you just talk about your experience and then they show you what they're doing. But I found it to be absolutely incredible. And I want to just dive a little bit more into that now as well. Because
what's the purpose of it though?
I just think that okay, not to say that I would know that much, but at the same time, when you're at something and you're doing it every day, there's a give and take from it. And I think as soon as you start learning something, you ought to share that. Like,
oh, just an exchange of knowledge.
Educational thing. Uh-huh. But, and it's just a talk about what your experience is and where you're coming from with it. And I think that helps you place yourself and others place themselves. So I would like to do...
I was talking to somebody yesterday evening, and we were talking about various creative endeavours, and he was saying, like, writing a song, there's some magic there. There's some magic. You know, other things, he says, you can do by formula, but you can't write a song by formula.
I think you hear it if you do. You know,
If it's a formula.
I think you can write a song by formula if you have to, but you can hear it, and I think it stands out that some people write lyrics, or some people a melody comes and you just feel like it's as old as the hills, or it's as old as time itself. And in that case, I mean, I happen to think that ideas are in the ether, right? And they're just
rubbish. Yeah,
no,
oh, it's not me. It just comes to me. When I say I hate it, it's just that it never comes to me. It always comes to other people. Do you know when they say I'm just a vessel? It's just moving through me. Like, come on.
But you have to have a couple of things in order, right? Probably right. A couple of whiskeys taken. No, right. I'm kidding. No, but you do have to. You know, you do have to be open, and you do have to, I think you have to be willing to live
right.
the life that inspires the story,
okay.
or that takes where the melody comes from. But
they're floating around in the ether.
They're floating around, and I think if you're not open to it, it pops right. into your neighbour.
Okay, right, okay. I must open myself to go on. What are you going to sing for us?
I'm going to try and do a cover of a song I forgot about until my friend Kieran mentioned it last night, The Sound of Silence.
By
Paul Simon.
Ah, yeah, yeah, lovely. We mentioned it recently because they've done a study on silence.
Did they?
Yeah, you can actually hear silence. That was a scientific thing. I can't remember what else they said.
But what do you mean you can hear silence? It's a frequency.
No, you can hear it because you react to silence the same as you react to sounds. The brain does. I'm just passing on the information.
I didn't know that.
There you go. I didn't know it.
Yeah, and there, I've been singing the song this whole time. He was telling us all along. And
yeah, The Sound of Silence. There you go. So Susan and Neil, have you got a website, Susan, to direct?
I do. It's on Google.
On Google. Susan and Neil on Google, right.
The dark web.
And it's The Sound of Silence.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping lifted seeds while I was sleeping, and the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. Restless dreams, I walk alone. Silent streets of cobblestone. Beneath the halo of a street lamp, I turn my collar to the cold and damp. When my eyes are stabbed by the flash of a neon, split the night and touch the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without listening. Disturb the sound of silence.
That was lovely.
Thank you.
Listen, just in case you're rushing down to Waterford, it's not till the weekend after next.
Yes, sorry.
Altogether now is the weekend after next, not this weekend.
That's good to know. I'm terrible with dates.
Yeah, so am I, obviously. Okay, thanks very much, Susan. Gurmagut. Nish Toshin and the Priest Skelton and Noak to the Kieran of Farta. Gurmagut, Kieran, thank you. 51551ray@rte.ie. Can you read out the contact details of that organisation that are looking for medical devices, etc., for Ukraine? Many thanks. It's mishnokukraine.com. Mishnok, the Irish word for courage. MISNEACH, ukraine.com. And Andy was the guy we were talking to, and he'd welcome any offers, anything. And they're doing gym gear, medical gear, dental gear, beds, walkers, commodes, all that sort of thing. And they're transporting it over to Ukraine, and they're in dire need of all that type of thing. So they're doing a great job. Okay, we've two quizzers standing by waiting to play our Who Done It quiz. Two quizzers and a prize. And the prize is a two-night break at the Hendrick Smithfield in Dublin and tickets to the Jemison Experience. The Hendrick is home to a vibrant ground floor bar and outdoor courtyard space. There are over 270 works of Irish and international street art. It's there in Dublin 7, just off Smithfield Square. So perfect for exploring everything that the capital has to offer. The Hendrick, hendrickdublin.ie, hendrickdublin.ie. Sue Mitchell, good afternoon.
How you doing, Ray?
You're in Selbridge.
I am indeed, not far from Dublin.
and is it bad out there? What the like when I was coming down, it was very
dark. It's dire.
Yeah.
It's dire. Yeah. You'd think it was November and you should put some heating on.
You would. What's going on, Sue?
I don't know. I'm just hoping we all get the child to park out and put it outside and we scare this rain away and give it a bit of an
August. You're working from home.
I am. I've been a keyboard warrior today.
Yeah. So do you do all your work from home or do you do a bit of both?
Do a bit of both. I go into the office when I'm needed and then if I can, I work from home. It's just, I have a smallie, so it's a little bit easier to work from home sometimes.
Okay, and what age is the smallie?
She's 3. She was born on St. Patrick's Day 2020, so just as the world went into the crazy lockdown.
Wow. That's she's a historical baby.
Yes, and not just for me. So yeah, I was telling your researcher, I was doing one of those crazy things. I wrote a little note for her with key things that we did and dates and stuff.
Yeah.
Because I felt that for all of our schooling, it'll be, what did your parents do during the pandemic? Oh, yeah, your birthday's at the pandemic. What happened? What did you do during COVID-19? Because we did all the crazy things that we've forgotten about now, like holding babies out the window for people to wave in at us and stuff.
Yeah.
Because we were terrified, so.
But in a way, yeah. Because it was a terrible time for a lot of people, but to be having a new baby and to have that time at home, like that's a beautiful thing, a great bonding experience.
Absolutely. Daddy definitely got the benefit for that.
Yeah.
He definitely got that. And there was no couple tension then because there was none of, oh, I'm back from work, you have to do the night feeds, I'm getting up for work. We had none of those conversations because neither of us were going anywhere.
Yeah. Because that is a big moment, isn't it? When, you know, because I remember when Kate was born and I think I took 2 weeks off work and that morning came where I was going out the door and leaving Jenny with Kate and she's going, don't leave me. So there was none of that.
No, we got to the 8 week mark, which was really, really nice. But then, you know, like I remember being enraged by the fact that I couldn't get shoes for her when she started to walk. She started to walk that Christmas. She was an early walker and I was like, I can't get her measured for a pair of shoes because we were in the rolling lockdown stage, to that stage where it was opened and it was closed, then it was closed and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, anyway, we survived it and she's big and bold and they're figuring out what sort of a person she's going to be. So
yeah, little Faye, age 3. Now, you're going to the match, the All-Ireland football final at the weekend.
I am. I did my dues in the early part of the year. I have a season ticket. I'm a very lucky Dublin fan who has a season ticket. So I went to the earlier matches of the league and stuff. So I qualified for my All-Ireland ticket.
And is it a family tradition, Sue?
Yeah, it is. I go with my dad. It's just me and my dad. It's our thing. So it's sacred.
That's a lovely thing, though, isn't it? It's a lovely thing. And of course, being from Dublin, you get loads of opportunity to go to Co Park. Now, if you were from Kildare, for example, it'd be a different story. Now, you're up against Deirdre, who's from Fermoy in Cork. Hello, Deirdre.
How are you?
Not too bad. Yeah. How are you? And what are you up to today?
Good. Good. I'm on the road to Garrettstown. We have a mobile down there. So my husband is there with the three kids. So I'm just going back down with supplies.
Right. And yeah. How long are you staying there for?
Just for the week, but we have it for the summer.
Oh, lovely. So,
Any news?
Any news about the sun? Where it is? It's missing in action.
Oh, well, we had it yesterday. We were in swimming and then my kids were jumping off the pier at 10 o'clock last night.
Nice. Yeah.
We had it full blast yesterday. It was beautiful, but it's surely gone today.
I heard a rumour that it's going to reappear next Wednesday.
That's too far away. Right, don't say that.
What age is that? Go on.
No, I heard it was Friday.
So did you? Right, okay, there you go.
Yeah.
What age are your children, Deirdre?
12, just 12, just 10 and 6.
So they're loving it down there.
Ah, absolutely, yeah. So they've taken to just going swimming at 10 o'clock every night because that's the time that the tide is in. So so that's the norm now. It's hilarious.
That's they're making memories.
Yeah.
And of course, when they become adults, like those days down in Garrettstown, they went on forever. I remember it was daylight at 12:30 at night, and we were swimming in the sea for hours. Well,
Hopefully, all those cold nights standing at the sides of the pier will pay off. You know?
We'll harden them up. Okay. Now, three questions each, Sue and Deirdre. I'll give you the category, and then I offer you up a clue. If you go for a clue and get it right, you get a point. If you go without a clue and get it right, you get 2 points. And whoever has the most points at the end, that's the winner. And if it's a draw, we go to a tiebreak question. Good luck to you both. Here we go.
Okay. Good luck, Sue.
Good luck, Sue, and good luck, Deirdre. Now, music, Sue, is the first category. Do you want a clue or not?
I'll go clue.
You will go
clue.
Oh, you want a clue? Okay. The second name of this band is the surname of footballer Rio. Okay, the second name of this band is the surname of footballer Rio. Can you name them for 1 point? I say, don't you know? You say, you don't know. I say, take me out. I say, you don't show. Don't move, stand slow. I say, take me out. An idea.
Franz Ferdinand.
It is Franz Ferdinand, yes.
Yes.
Well done, Sue. That song is 20 years old next year. My word. Anyway, you get 2 points. No, you get 1 point. 1 point. 1 point because you took the clue. 1 point. Well done. Now, Deirdre, music for you too. Do you want a clue?
Oh, I'm going to have to just chance it.
You're going to chance it. Okay. Right. So who is this for 2 points? Who's that?
I just hit a blank.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I know that song.
Yeah. It was played off the radio in the early noughties.
Absolute blank.
The Strokes.
Yeah, and
the
I'm usually Strokes. Good at music.
Yeah, The Strokes last night.
The Strokes. Yeah. Oh my God.
There you go. Okay. Now, Sue is on one. You've yet to score, so it's early days. Don't panic. Second category, okay. Irish voices. Irish voices. Sue, do you want a clue or not?
I'll go clue.
You go with clue as well. Okay, this is your strategy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's your clue. He's the lead singer of the Boomtown Rats. Who is this for 1 point?
There are a lot of people out there already queuing up. One thing I must say, please, tomorrow, if you haven't got a ticket, don't go up there. Bring something to make yourself comfortable. It's 10 hours. Relax. It'll be a good day. And please, again, if someone offers you something outside the grounds, T-shirt, books, tickets, don't buy them. Just go home and watch it for free on TV. That's important.
Who's that?
Sir Bob Geldof.
It is Sir Bob Geldof talking to Terry Wogan the day before Live Aid, 12th of July, 1985. You get a point. You're on two. Deirdre,
yay.
Irish voices. What do you want to do?
Oh, well,
have to absolutely take a clue.
You don't have to, but do you want to? Do you want?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you want to take a clue? Okay. Wife to Spencer, bestie to Joanne. So, wife to Spencer, bestie to Joanne. Can you name this person for 1 point?
Me, I'm terrified of bees. I got stung 17 times by African bees. I was doing a show with Bear Grylls and I went for a wee in a bush. And there was a bee's nest in front of me that I was like, what is that thing? And then, yeah, 17 times everywhere.
Painful. Who's that?
Joanne McNally.
No! I said wife to Spencer, bestie to Joanne. That's the clue. Yes.
I know.
See, I know the brain and live radio.
I'm parked at the side of the road, but my head is I'm not thinking.
Now you're not out yet, Deirdre, because Sue is on two. You can get two from your final question. But
okay.
But Sue, if you get anything from this, you're today's winner.
Oh dear. Okay.
So what? It's Disney characters, Sue. What do you want to do?
I'd have to go Clue.
Yes.
It's working for you.
Okay. This frozen fella has a carrot for a nose. Can you name him? This Disney character for 1 point.
The cold are both so intense. Put them together, it just makes sense. Winter's a good time to stay in and cuddle, but put me in summer and I'll be a... happy snowman.
Who's that?
That's one and only Olaf.
It is Olaf. Yes, the snowman from Frozen. You get a point. That's a very steady performance there. 3-1, 3. Deirdre, you can't catch her now. You can only score a possible 2 points. Sorry about that. Listen, we're going to send you out a Ray Darcy Show Keep Cup, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your holiday in Garrettstown and say hello to all the gang first.
Thank you.
Safe driving. See you, Deirdre. Bye. Sue, you're coming into town, as in you're going to the Hendrick in Smithfield and hendrickdublin.ie for more information to see what's in store for you, yourself and somebody else. Two-night break.
That's excellent.
Well done, Sue. Enjoy
Thank
the game.
So much,
see
right.
you now. Bye. Now we have Veronica Daniels coming up after the break, and Veronica is a podiatrist. So if you have any foot related problems and you want some free advice on the radio from our podiatrist today, Veronica Daniels, get them into us now. 51551 or ray@rte.ie.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, 51551 ray@rte.ie for your questions for our podiatrist today, who we'll talk to after this. Yeah, perfect podiatrist music. Nancy Sinatra, these boots are made for walking. Come on, let's do it. Come on, Nancy, go on, one more time.
Start walking.
Veronica Daniels joins us in studio from the Podiatry Clinic in Dublin. We're talking feet. How you doing, Veronica?
Very well, thanks, Ray.
We were just talking that feet get bad press.
They do, because I think because they're covered all the time, people sort of see them as prohibitive because they're covered.
And do you think people, say, in countries that wouldn't have them covered so often, in hotter countries, that feet would be no problem with feet?
I wouldn't think there's any problem with feet in hotter countries.
It was amazing the reaction it got when we brought feet up at a meeting recently. people visibly squirmed at just the mention
of
the word foot.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Especially if you're in pain, you'll squirm.
Yeah, you will. Right. Okay, so we said you were coming in. What are the most common things that you deal with?
Yeah, lots of skin problems, ingrown toenails, verrucas, biomechanical, like pain in the foot, ankle pain, foot pain, all those sorts of things.
Are we bad at choosing footwear?
We're better than we used to be. But yeah, you should choose the footwear for what you're going to do. You know?
Yes. So comfort over style.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Function over fashion.
That's my motto.
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
Now, maybe it's me and maybe it was something to do with COVID, but there are less high heel shoes around the place now, are there?
Absolutely. And I think people started wearing comfortable shoes at home. They weren't going to work. They didn't have to think about style. and they got used to it, and now they can't get into them.
Great.
Which is good for them.
Yes,
and good
is.
For their feet.
And good for their feet. Okay, let's get to the our listeners' questions
yes.
then. I get targeted ads for bunion correctors. I suffer horribly from them. Are they worth a try or should I consult a surgeon?
Right.
What are bunions?
Right. Bunions are an orthopedic problem. It's a bone problem. So it's a change in the joint on the at the big toe, at the base of the big toe and the big toe.
And what causes now, bunions?
The way the foot's working. So it is actually something that's about the back of the foot and the way the ankle is situated. So sometimes a person's ankle hits the inside of the foot and the foot goes out. So they've an overpronated or a flat foot.
Right.
And so the
is that,
first...
Is that genetic?
Yes.
It is, right. Okay.
Yeah.
So you can't do anything about it, really?
Not really.
No, okay.
But you can, well, you can sort of get treated early. If you get an orthotic in there early and change the way the foot hits the ground, you'll okay. prevent them.
What should this person do then?
Right. If it is... a bunion, a true bunion, where it's got a whole orthopedic bone growth on it and it's restricted, they need to see a consultant surgeon. And the bunion correctors do not work and they actually are very painful. You're meant to leave them on overnight, and if you have a restricted joint, you'll wake up in a lot of pain.
So how will they know if they have what you've just described?
They won't be able to move the big toe well.
Okay.
It'll
right.
click and it'll be uncomfortable.
Okay. So surgeon is where
surgeon
they need to go.
Surgeon is where
okay.
they need to go.
Yeah, don't bother with the bunion correctors.
No.
Okay. I have this extremely hard skin on the side of my big toe. Nothing I do can get it smooth and soft. Any tips?
Right. That's actually, again, a flat foot. And the toe is rubbing on the side of the shoe because the end of the big toe is moving. And the joint on the bunion, the joint there where you would get a bunion is not moving,
uh-huh.
even though it's able to move because the way the foot's working in the shoe. But they can file it down with a little bit of a file or a pumice stone gently, don't overfile, and use an emollient, an oil-based cream. So if you use cream on those hard skin on a regular basis, and I'm talking daily, it'll make a huge difference.
Okay. Flat feet, again, genetic, are they?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. It's just the way the foot interacts with the ankle.
Are we meant to go barefoot? Human beings?
Well,
like our ancestors would have went.
Yeah, they would have. But our ancestors were walking on soft ground, not on concrete.
Yes.
And our shoes are orthotics. They control our foot a bit, so they help. But we're walking on concrete now, so barefoot on concrete is not a
wouldn't
good
work,
idea.
Wouldn't work, okay. okay, good luck with your hard skin on your big toe. My daughter's skin is peeling rather badly on the soles of her feet at the moment. She has been in the pool quite a lot for various summer camps. Is this the cause?
If the skin is red and flaking and little blisters, then she possibly has caught a fungal infection. But if it's just peeling and she's getting no discomfort, it's just children get a very high skin cell turnover rate, and she's possibly just growing and the skin in the summer. Not
but do you know the way when you're in the water a lot
yeah.
that your skin goes that sort of milky
soft.
White and looks
yeah.
like there's little holes in it? Yeah.
Yeah, but if she's drying properly after that, she shouldn't be getting that. But sometimes the skin just flakes very quickly.
Okay.
We get new skin all over our body every 3 days.
And swimming pools and fungal infections, is that common?
Very common.
Right. And how do you stop that, prevent that happening?
Well, basically wearing flip-flops, wearing shoes, maybe even putting a layer of Vaseline, like a barrier over the foot, but that'll make you slippy.
Yes.
So you've got to be careful.
It'll also make the
pool
water
a bit, won't like it.
Yeah, no.
People won't like it.
No.
But really, then if you do catch it, treating it early.
Okay. Now, I keep getting recurring verrucas on the sole of my feet.
Right.
Is there anything I can do to stop them from arriving in the first place? I'm sick of burning them off. What are verrucas?
Verrucas are a wart.
An ingrowing wart, is it?
An ingrown wart because they're on the foot. So you're walking on them and the pressure of walking
just pushes them in.
Oh,
right.
So they're a bit more difficult to get rid of. They need to protect themselves. They're obviously very prone to verrucas if they keep getting them. So they need to wear swim socks or flip-flops. They need to wear something on their feet all the time when they're in any public area. They also, I would suggest that they get a checkup on their immune system. because if your immune system's down, you're going to be catching infections. And verruca are an infection.
Is a wart an infection?
Yes.
Okay, right.
So if they're constantly catching verruca, I would think they need to be thinking about their immune system.
Yeah.
And go to their GP.
Right. Now, just to go off on a tangent for a moment, my wife got one of these footeners recently. It's sort of a sock with chemicals in it.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be like a sort of a DIY treatment at home.
Right.
Have you heard about them?
I've heard about them. All loads of gimmicks. Right. There's stuff in there. Like there's AHA, which is an acid to help fine lines often in creams.
Right.
There's a thing in them called BHA, which is and they abbreviate these things. It's salicylic acid. Now, I don't know how much is in these. Often it doesn't say how much. But for anyone with an immune system problem, diabetes, psoriasis, which is a skin condition, they shouldn't be using them. Or okay. If you're pregnant, you shouldn't be using them.
Okay. Why are women so obsessed with their feet and men not so much?
Because women like to wear sandals and paint the nails. And I think we've been sold this image thing that we have to look good all the time. Says me. With the face paint on.
Yeah. No, but
we have been sold the
image.
There's
sort of an obsession.
They are.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They want the feet to look good. They want their nails painted.
Mm.
And like it's lovely, but, you know, it doesn't. Once your foot's comfortable, it's more important.
Okay. I went for a pedicure. There you go, pedicure. And the person giving it to me kind of dug into the second last nail on my toe. Since then, it hasn't been right and has gone kind of yellow. Does your foot expert have any idea what it might be and what I can do to solve it?
Right. It could be a fungal nail. They need to look at the nail. It could be just nail damage. But if it's a fungal nail, it's sort of porous. It's got little holes in it.
So if it is
a fungal nail,
the person giving the pedicure damaged the nail, is that it?
Yeah, and like, you know, they shouldn't be digging down the side if they're doing the nails.
Yes.
You know, getting your nails done is in a pedicure place is about filing the nail a little bit and putting nail polish on.
Yeah,
they shouldn't be digging down.
I've been separated.
Yeah.
From a lot of cash. Yeah, they're very expensive. I don't.
And they're all in again. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
Now.
Well, it's sandal time, I suppose. Yes, Birkenstock sliders, all that sort of thing. So the advice here is to do what? Sorry, I interrupted.
Check
you.
The nail. See if there's little holes in it. If it's there's small little. If it's a porous nail, it's possibly fungal.
Yeah.
It could be just damaged, it may grow out. It may be damaged from another toe sitting on top of it, so that's exacerbating it.
Right,
so they
okay.
need to just look at their nail, maybe go to a podiatrist and get a proper diagnosis.
Right, we've a minute to do this one. Veronica.
Itchy
feet. My soles and my feet get very itchy, especially at night time, in the centre in particular. What could this be? Is it athlete's feet or even athlete's foot?
Again, it could be athlete's foot. Is it red? Is it inflamed? Are there little blisters? If he has that, then it's athlete's foot. It's bound to be worse at night because you close your eyes and you're thinking of nothing else. So
is that
if you've got an itch,
you have no distractions.
You have no distractions.
Right.
It goes mad at night.
So it's nothing to do with the sheets or the heat or
no,
anything like that. It's just
no,
your brain.
It goes mad. Your brain has nothing else going on and it focuses on what's wrong. So you feel more pain at night and you feel more itch at night.
So if it's blotchy.
If it's red, blotchy, inflamed, teeny little blisters called vesicants, then it's athlete's foot.
And you can get across the counter stuff, can you?
You can get across the counter stuff for that. There's loads of other things it could be as well. There's systemic problems as well.
Okay. Veronica, I'm sure we'll talk again. That's Veronica Daniels from the Podiatry Clinic in Dublin. Thanks very much, Veronica.
Thank you, Ray.
That's it from us. Sarah and Cormac are on the way on Drive Time. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your rainy Wednesday evening.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.